This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK's Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation.
Welcome everyone to CICK News. Today we're hearing from the people involved in the recent renaming of the Haida Gwaii village of Queen Charlotte back to the traditional name of Dajin Geads. In 2019, the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program submitted a request to the Queen Charlotte Village Council to change the name of Queen Charlotte back to the ancestral Dajin Geads. The Skidigit Haida Immersion Program, or SHIP, began in 1998 and has been documenting the Skidigit Haida language of Haida Keel for the purpose of saving a language that is quickly disappearing. The protection and preservation of Haida Keel is a lengthy process, and it's due to the efforts of the Haida elders, who are 10 very committed and dedicated elders that are fluent speakers of the Skidigit Haida language. The average age of these elders is 80. The elders attend SHIP 5 days a week, 10 months of the year. They represent approximately 50% of today's fluent Haida Keel speakers. Their efforts to revitalize Haida Keel are genuine and from the heart. Respect for their ancestors, the language, and its many dialects have been of utmost importance. These members of SHIP kept up their meetings during the pandemic and have continued to meet on Zoom daily because their furnace broke. So I spoke with the members in a meeting back in May via Zoom.
When I took training in 1970, there was people from all over the province and many, all the coastal nations understood each other.
This is Gwaganad, or Diane Brown. She is a cultural and language holder of the Eagle Clan and the youngest of only 19 fluent speakers of her ancestral language of Haida Keel.
And then all the interior natives, they understood each other. And I was the only Haida, of course, at the class, but, you know, I couldn't understand anything they said. They couldn't understand my language. Mm. It's just like, you know, I don't know how the heck the British would feel if we wanted to call it Gwaii Sting. Let's change England to Gwaii Sting because there's two islands there. You know, that would they'd start a world war or something, I'll bet you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you turn it around and trying to call some of their precious places, I mean, I'm sure it had another name a long time ago, but let's call England Gwaii Sting. See how that feels. It just helps. It helps us, brings us, I don't know how to explain it, but you become closer to your ancestors with the ancestral names. It was wonderful reclaiming the down south names. How I know some non-Haida people have difficulty in accepting and understanding that we communicate with our ancestors as yet. And one of the elders said one day, well, what's going to happen if we lose our language? Who's going to speak to the ancestors? That one really shook me up. When we were reclaiming the names, it was very powerful. And most of the people that reclaimed the names on that trip, the elders, they're gone now. Mm. We did it just in the right time, because if we were to do that today, I don't think we could get a lot of them. Because, for example, Nungking Iuwans, we would be stuck on a bay. And Nungking Iuwans, one time, we went down for the night, and he got up in the morning and he had the answer. He dreamt about it. Dur on that journey, Yungwa Atelgad.
Anga.
Yes. And Gajiawa was, I was supposed to go to, but I wasn't well. I don't know who all that's in ship today that were on that journey, but.
Nice Juan?
Yeah, he's not here today though, darn.
No, not today, unfortunately.
I just kind of grasped the amazing feeling that we got on that journey as we reclaimed them. It was powerful. It was empowering. You know, it was, I felt closer to our ancestors. Many things happened on that journey.
From this meeting and discussion, I gathered two pieces of information that I didn't expect. Firstly, that this isn't just about a name. It's about the Haida people whose way of life and language were nearly extinguished by the introduction of European settlers. And that without their language, the Haida lose the ability to communicate with their ancestors. Secondly, documenting Haida Keel is almost more like a biology lesson than a lesson in semantics. When I asked, what does Dajin Gids mean, or translate to, the answer was deeper than I expected, but that's something unique about the Haida dialects. Of the more than 60 indigenous languages spoken in Canada, Haida is unlike any other. It's a language isolate, meaning it has no other language relatives, like French has with Spanish and Italian, for example. The Haida language consists of three main dialects: Alaskan, Haidkil, Masset, Haidkil, and Skidigit, Haidakil. While a Haidakil speaker and Haidkil speaker can mostly understand one another, the three varieties themselves are aggregations of many more that were whispered out of existence with the decimation of the Haida populations as the northwest coast of North America in the 19th and 20th centuries. This is an excerpt from a fantastic article called Saving Language at the Edge of the World by Jensen Edwards that was published in May of 2018. The elders at ship wrestle with fragments of upwards of 19 dialects in order to come to a consensus on any given translation. When no one solution can be settled on, they write down and record all of their options. Haida words can also be made by combining sounds that indicate concepts, including whether they are horizontal or vertical things, made of wood or made of stone. There are very few word-for-word English to Haida translations. More often than not, a simple English word or phrase involves finding the appropriate sentence in Haida. More often than not, an English expression is just an imprecise pronoun, a simple verb, and a temporal observation. But when translated into Haida, it becomes a cultural revelation. But when I spoke to the members of SHIP, they emphasized the impact of name and place using traditional language as a way to recognize Haida life and Haida land.
You know, like Queen Charlotte, that's not the real name of these islands. They had a name long before contact. So did Dajin Gita's ancient name. Mm-hmm. And then particularly some offensive explorers that did some terrible things were really in a hurry to get them off.
I just feel that reclaiming our history is so important to our Haida people.
This is Crystal.
And this is a form of reconciliation, is to reclaim a part of us again.
How many people speak Haida now?
In terms of fluent speakers, first language speakers, under 10 in Skidigit.
And practicing?
Well, we have 6 first language speakers with us at SHIP.
Less than 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love about speaking Haida Keel? And also, where do you feel it in your body when you're speaking fluently with another Haida Keel speaker?
Well, for example, this morning, Talgad and I made a little exchange in our language, and I was just reading, someone had quoted me that it's an exact language. You know, when you hear a word, you can see it and feel it. That doesn't happen with English for us. It's just better, much better.
Way better.
Do you find that it's possible to describe the Haida any of the Haida dialects, but do you feel like it's possible to describe Haida language using English words?
Of course, but like I said, it's not exact. Mm-hmm. You can do it and it doesn't come out the same.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the name change to Dajing Geeds?
It just should be. This is Haida land and it's the official language of Haida Gwaii. And it's no different than me being 3 years old, 4 years old, learning how to say Queen Charlotte. I can say it perfectly fine today. Those that can't say Dajing Geeds today in Charlotte could take time out of their day, learn how to pronounce it, reach out to somebody that can.
It's hard for them to understand because it's not, they don't have any ownership to it. And for example, we've started calling our children with Haida names legally. It was just in the news last week about some people from Vancouver Island that called their son a name and the government refused to accept it because it didn't fit the slots. And then when we first, for example, we first called our first granddaughter Tang Renee, there was a big, you know, oh, we can't say that. And when she started school, the teachers were saying, nobody will be able to say it and all that. You know, they just want to throw blocks up. But now people are saying it fine. My two grandsons, the oldest one is Gunchance, and the next one is Tison. And the same thing, you know, the settlers, they don't care to see that, I guess, or something.
Once the name is changed and Queen Charlotte is given back to the crown and you have a now more people saying Dajing Geeds, do you think this now opens the door and people will want to learn, Haida and settlers will want to learn the language and more about where they live?
Oh, of course.
There's a certain amount that... you know, used to attend ship a long time ago. They want to learn, most of them, but then there's a sector that's against it all, no matter what it is. But the Haida language is the language of Haida Gwaii. And we've gone through a lot of work, especially the elders that aren't with us now, renaming all the villages down south, all the villages up north, they all had names. And so we're reclaiming them all. It's certainly helping us move forward. Mm-hmm. And there's a resistance.
What does Dajing Geeds mean?
There's a, like we say, some words mean many things. Mm-hmm. But Dajing is hat. Geeds is children or child of the hat. The Geeds part too is it's pretty a honorable name. Or you see, all children of chiefs are called Geeds, so nobody else can be called that. So I think way back in our histories, that's obviously was the child of a chief that they may have named it after. When we were reclaiming names down south, you have to pull into consideration the landscape, how things are shaped, what happened there.
Among you in the program, you know, how much discussion is interpreting a word or how to define it? And do you find it's being, do you find that you may visit the place or hold the thing in your hand in order to describe something better?
I don't know. I mean, for example, there's about 30 to 40 names to explain a wave. Wagonut, can I have a little discussion with you while we're on this?
Sure, don't get it.
To me, dodging geats means being protected by a hat. Dodging geats. Okay, that's all.
That makes perfect sense.
Well, because I heard that it's like always, it was always windy there, where the village is, where the community hall is.
The hats were extremely important to all our ancestors and to us today, just for what Talgad had said. It protects us from the wind, the rain, the sun.
And just from listening to you talk about geats being a word that is used by chiefs, you know, it's almost a protection thing.
Yes.
And that's what made me really believe what my thoughts were meant something.
Can I say something? It's Ilja Shilai.
Hey, Ilja Shilai.
This is very interesting. I like what I'm hearing from Diane and Betty. And to me, it gives me a feeling, a real good feeling. Growing up here as a Haida person, going to school and dodging geats, it was very difficult. There was lots of racism, and I felt it mostly from the teachers. And for me, when that pole went up in dodging geats, my chest was so wide open, my heart was open, and it made me feel so good. Yes, this is our home, and they're acknowledging it, and they're paying us a respect. And I feel the same way about this name. Okay, so sometimes we weren't welcome up there in our own territory, but now, the people that don't know that that's Haida land, that's our land, it's getting the proper name back. It's paying respect to us. And I think that's so important for us as Haida people to heal some of the hurts and the pains that have gone on in the past. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
That's deadly, dead on.
This is an important time in far-reaching Haida history. Not only did SHIP receive unanimous support by the Queen Charlotte Village Council, but they never gave up their lengthy three-year process. Since the original request, with an interruption in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Council has been engaging with village residents, business owners, and island stakeholders to have meaningful discussions, listen, share knowledge, as well as ask and answer questions. Here's Mayor Chris Olson in a conversation that we had prior to the May 16 council meeting, where the results from the community response survey were shared.
Yeah, we received a report on basically our response survey, our community feedback form, to find out the community's opinions. And that's what the report on the Monday meeting was, because we had put a survey out to find out the opinion of our community and really how strong the no vote was. It's online, it's published, and all the responses and stuff. Some of them are pretty ugly, but we understood what we were getting into. And so 38% of the response were no. So when you think of, and we had 380 members of our community return their forms. So it was a really good survey. It really tallies and records, you know, statistically how many people came out and you know, to give us a response and understanding of, you know, the people that are for and the people that are against. So it gave us the information that we need to move forward. So quite excited. So we on May 16th, we're going to be going to our community and for a discussion and on this matter, and options will be put forward on how to move forward, because we needed a 2-week period of time from receiving the survey to actually understanding what the steps are to move forward, because we didn't want to make a decision right away when we just received that information, as well as our community had just received that information. So we're quite excited about the next steps, and we'll be receiving a report from our CAO with options, outlining the options where we can move forward. So pretty excited about that.
In March of 2022, the village disseminated a community response form to formally gather opinions of residents and property owners. Rounding up, the results of the 380 responses, which were shared at the May 2nd council meeting, indicated that 49% of respondents strongly supported a change, 12% somewhat supported a name change, and 36% did not support changing the name of the village. Council's subsequent resolution on May 16th, 2022, that supports restoring Dajin Gids as the municipality's name, is a step in a process that is without precedent. When Mayor Chris Olson Deluju spoke to me after the May 16th council meeting, he was positive about the council's response, albeit a little disappointed in some of the residents who opposed the renaming to Dajin Gids. After the 2-week waiting period, I spoke with Mayor Olson again once council held a public meeting, this time to announce that they had voted unanimously to change the village name back to Dajin Gids.
I'm very honored. I think our community looked at this question and educated everyone, and we were able to look at the issue at hand, and we were able to respectfully come to a decision to unanimously, as council voted, to return our name to the ancestral name of Dajin Gids. So I'm very honored, very honored.
Great. And what were the biggest struggles at the municipal level to help make this change happen?
Well, I would have to say at the municipal level, the fact that there really was no place for us to look for help or advice. There's really no other communities that we could ask for, how did you do this? What was the process? So when we asked government, they told us we had to have consent of community number one, that we had to post decision. So for us, consent of community kind of is an open-ended term. So we had to really educate our community, provide information sessions, really take our time, listen to the community, answer questions that community members had, because it took 3 years. So I would have to say the hardest part was just really ensuring that we have shown consent of community and that we've done our due diligence.
Is there anything else that you have to do at this level, or is it kind of now out of your hands?
What we've done is we have posted the name change for 2 weeks. So we have to have, that's part of the process the province has set forward, that after we make our decision, we have to post the decision for 2 weeks. So we're doing that right now. It's posted. And on our June 6th council meeting, we will make the formal resolution to then have cabinet request an order in cabinet to do a formal name change of our letters patent.
Would this have happened without the work of the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program?
Not at all. Everything, this is directly a result of the great work that the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program has been doing. They've been restoring and revitalizing the Haida language now for 1994. It really, really came together. Maybe I got that date wrong, probably, but in the early 90s, really started to formulate and set forth with the revitalization of the Haida language.
You know, thinking about changing back to an ancestral name, of course, I like the thought of it, but really it has so much to do with, like, there's still so much interpretation with the Haida language. And so there's still so much work to be done. So do you know kind of what's next? Are there any more villages or rivers or places that are kind of slated for this change?
Well, every year, the Council of Haida Nation is working with the Ministry of Toponymy to bring back ancestral names. And there's a number of names that have occurred all over Haida Gwaii that a lot of them are just straight up incorrectly spelled. So those will be like the first ones that would be changed, would be taking the English spelling and then putting it back to the proper Haida spelling. So yeah, every year, there will be a number of names that will be changed through the Ministry of Toponymy. And when the Council of Haida Nation invited the Village of Queen Charlotte Council into those meetings, the representative, she has the ability to change seven names, is my understanding, every year without having an order in cabinet. So, and those would be just for the simple misspelled names. And there's also a number of names that, you know, are just completely inappropriate and are named after people that, you know, should not have their name on the map. And those histories will be shared in due time.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, Mayor Olson, was there anything else about this process that, you know, is maybe a way for people to support this decision, or are you kind of just in that posted and waiting period right now?
Well, this is something that our community, we really looked at as two communities coming together and uniting, and we really kept it between our two communities and didn't seek outside influence or information. We really looked at doing it in a classy, respectful way between our two communities and just respecting each other as we made such an important decision, because basically place and identity are fundamental in who we are. So we are just looking at doing this together in the spirit of you know, respect.
To change the municipality's name, council must ask the Minister of Municipal Affairs to advance a request to cabinet. By way of May 16th groundbreaking resolution, council has triggered the statutory two-week notice period that aims to see a formal request to Minister Cullen by June 6th, which was yesterday. From there, Minister Cullen will need to decide whether to advance the request for an order in council. Let's listen now to my interview with Minister Cullen about this decision, as well as the logistics of this groundbreaking process.
Sure. I'm Nathan Cullen. I'm the MLA for Stikine and also the Minister for Municipal Affairs and responsible for immigration.
So the Village of Queen Charlotte Council is currently in the process of posting their decision to return the village name back to Dajin Geeds. So what's your role in this decision?
Yeah, we, as the province, holds all of the letters patent for all of BC's municipalities and villages, regional districts. The process of changing a name, it's not often done. It's only been done a couple of times. But there is oftentimes a community will come to us for a boundary change or some other change to what it is that and how they're set up. We've been through it a couple of times with communities that have sought to change a name, and some around questions of reconciliation and returning names back. But it is a fairly new process for British Columbia, and one that's exciting and interesting and complex, obviously. Names matter, and people get very attached to names of all kinds, from older names and ones that have been replaced, etc. So we're learning as we go, as the village has as well on Haida Gwaii. And of course, the island itself went through regaining its name of Haida Gwaii just not that many years ago. And that was an interesting process as well for everyone to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. And is your office in support of this change?
We try to stay fairly neutral. We try to enable communities to have the conversation. Ultimately, we want to make sure that the community is very engaged, that people are having their input. We also gauge support from First Nations themselves, of course, which makes sense. In this case, the Haida, are they in favor of it? And the name itself can be very important. Well, is very important. But we try to allow the community to go through their own process and not try to put our finger on the scale one way or the other, but just more ensure that the community was engaged, that it was done openly and fairly. And I would say to the village council has done a lot of efforts despite COVID, which made community engagement face-to-face difficult, to try to talk to people, engage, and certainly engage the Haida communities and the elders as well.
Yeah, and you know, maybe this is a little more anecdotal, but how can the people of Dajin Geeds inspire other communities to also question their place names when so many of us live on Indigenous lands that we don't know the name of?
Well, I think it's happening in all over British Columbia, in my experience, that even the land acknowledgement process for a lot of communities, many community leaders sort of knew, didn't entirely know, but the recognition and understanding whose territory their community sits on. And in that exploration is also the opportunity to learn or relearn history, right? As to how the community was founded, how was it that the First Nations were dealt with almost always incredibly badly. And then those moments of coming together. And in our community in Smithers, the Shared Histories Project was an important learning for both Smithers and for the Wet'suwet'en, whose territory Smithers sits on, to relearn and in some cases learn for the first time what the history was in the founding of the community and what the role was or wasn't for the Wet'suwet'en in that process.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that more communities in BC will follow suit? I mean, this was a 3-year process. As we know, Powell River is currently in a process very similar to this as well. But how could you as MLA help to encourage and support the necessary, not only just paperwork, but also relations between Indigenous residents and settlers?
Yeah, we're engaged in a couple fronts right now. One is around communities that are seeking to reconsider their names. We have some funding. It's not a ton, but it's significant enough to allow communities to go through some process when they're contemplating governance and how they're governed and things like name considerations. As well, we're seeing from a number of regional districts in particular where there have been seats at the table for First Nations representatives, but are now seeking to make those seats come with voting rights as well. Not a straightforward process as you might think, but an important conversation and a good one. In terms of other communities seeking to change their names, I don't know. Not that many have come forward yet. There might be more, certainly, as people talk about reconciliation in more meaningful ways and practical ways. But again, we want to enable the conversations, not push, because I don't know if it's our role to tell a community what their name is. Our role is to allow communities to have the conversation that makes most sense for them. So, you know, Powell River will look at that, and other communities may step forward as well. Sometimes it's, I've seen that it depends on what the colonial name is, and often who the community was named after will affect the conversation as well, as we uncover histories, and many of them very, very negative. And that can sometimes influence and maybe motivate communities to look at new names. It's not a small thing, though, right? Like it's a big process, and there's going to be lots of people with passionate voices on both sides, which is, from my understanding, true for Queen Charlotte as well in the village on Haudaguay.
Mm-hmm. Now, on June 6th, this will be brought to council. It's an order in council, I believe. What are the kind of logistics of what's going to happen on June 6th?
Yeah, I think it's relatively straightforward. The village has done a community survey and dialogue sessions with their community as well. They believe they have a mandate to seek the name change, so they will make an official request of the province, I believe. We'll await that request, and they'll send us an entire package, right? They'll talk to us about what their whole process was and essentially make the case for why they want the name change and why they believe that the process they took was valid and has the community support and the support of the broader First Nations community to go ahead. I'll then prepare something for the cabinet to look at, and with a recommendation from me as to whether I think what happened was in good standing and the name and whatnot. And then the cabinet will make a decision when we get all those papers and get it forwarded. So I don't know what the timing's like. Again, this is a very, very new process for British Columbia. We've not done this very often. But it's interesting and exciting for a lot of people. And again, like I said, raises strong passions on both sides, or many sides. I suppose there's probably even more than two sides on an issue like this.
Hawa, and thank you for listening today to this episode of CICK News. While you may be listening, wondering how you can learn a little more about the Haida language and gather some phrases to speak, there's a list of helpful resources that the members of SHIP have been putting out for years. If you Google Skidigit Haida Immersion Program, there is a Haida Keel blogspot with lots of links to read along with audio clips of word pronunciations. But for now, Just enjoy this Haida rap by Elder Jixa, Gladys Vandal, and Julia Weeder, who formed the rap group Siju Jadas, which means cool ladies in Haida.
A sing sing, itki good night la, hanju ready.
Tribu yuju itki hanju. Tribu yuju, tribu yuju. Itki itkons, paska.
Ki waithat lada, hait sing I la, itki starkle. Gump tajua, gump dala, again a sing. Gump tago. Di kaga it the lung dao guska. Di stahui dang at nang jara koya weji. It gi slut lada. Gum jing at dung hook kingan. Digi slutan yuju.
CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.